to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Good morning. It's a beautiful good morning here, a Thursday morning, December the 13th, 2018, in my slice of heaven, and the current time in the ashram right now is exactly 40 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Dear sisters and brothers, welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. The current temperature is 25 degrees Celsius, that is close to 77 Fahrenheit, and currently we are experiencing overnight lows of about 18 degrees Celsius, that's close to 33 Fahrenheit. Oh, I'm sorry, no, that's, I do not know how much that is in Fahrenheit, it's not 33. And the sky is a mix of sun and cloud. This morning, it was a bit overcast. I don't know how the day will play out. Traffic in downtown Puttaparthi was very busy this morning because everybody was rushing in all directions. You know, there's a whole lot of Puttaparthi population that lives on the other side of town who were all driving in to get to schools and colleges. And then there were many of us from the Ganesha Circle trying to drive towards the ashram to get to work. So heavy traffic. It's only a 10-minute phenomena. No worries. And in this busy town, celebrations are aglow all the way, every day, because such is our spiritual paradise. We just concluded the celebrations to mark the 93rd birth anniversary of our beloved Lord. And this was followed by a spate of Parthi Yatras by devotees from different parts of India. And of course, the annual meet of the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini and many more events. And now, in exactly 12 days from now, the abode of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba is ready to celebrate the holiest day in the Christian calendar with the global Sai family in typical Prashanti Nilayam style. We will serenade him, we will glorify him, recall his teachings, and we will attempt to walk in his footsteps and dedicate ourselves to his gospel of love and compassion. Yes, I am speaking of superstar Jesus Christ. The buzz in the ashram right now is pointing to a glorious Christmas 2018, which promises to be, as always, extraordinarily grand and spiritually uplifting. The true spirit of Christianity can be experienced in the ashram hall, in the ashram and in our darshan hall, in our western canteen and all over our ashram. You turn in any direction. Everywhere you can spot smiling faces eager to begin the carol practices, the Christmas decoration work and everything else connected with Christmas. My personal favorite every year, I say this, is always the park behind the golden Ganesha with the little umbrella. There, along the trail, you can see the golden Lord Jesus standing on the highest point. And at Christmas, does he ever get in the mood to celebrate with us? That look of serenity and love on his divine face is uplifting. And all the decorations on his person and around him, they make a nice trellis kind of a thing. He looks very handsome and divine with all that. And anyone who has been to Prashanti Nilayam during Christmas will agree that we truly celebrate the spiritual version of Christmas with prayers and singing of carols and remembering the gospel of Christ, which seems to be forgotten sometimes these days. So while elsewhere, this season is also associated with retail sales, gift exchanging, Secret Santa, Christmas parties and so on, here in Prashanti Nilayam, we are hosting the international community that has come to our ashram to reclaim the true Christmas spirit. You just walk into the Western canteen at lunch and you will find it packed with devotees from every culture and country, and the happy carolers are busy practicing away at the conference hall, or they are going to start practicing shortly at the conference hall. I believe it's from today by the bookstore. So the thing about our ashram is that we are just used to waking up each morning to a new decoration, a new theme and a new concert, because life is truly an eternal celebration in this most happening place in the world. We are filled with joy and bliss, and everything is looked after so well, from the best music to the grandest of concerts, dramas, Broadway style, dances, classical, and bhajans by Baba's beloved students. And then we have the talks in the satsang hall. Our surroundings are lush green, beautiful, tidy, well-maintained, very, very clean, pure, and incredibly affordable food in of so many choices in so many canteens and kiosks. And then there is the shopping center, the bookstore, the Sai Blossom store. Everything is so auspicious, organic, beautiful, affordable, and non-commercial. Yet it serves humanity very well. The powerful name of our Lord Sai spells loving excellence in every language, in every faith, and in every culture, and in every heart. And this is something that comes across very clearly when you're in Prashanthi Nilayam during Christmas. With those comments, I'm happy to introduce to you the three special guests I have in my studio. They are from the Sai Sundaram School in Darjeeling district of West Bengal. The Sai Sundaram School was started in Dilaram, Darjeeling, West Bengal in the year 1983, and it offers education to 300 students ranging from nursery to kindergarten all the way to grade 12. So 14 grades are offered, and there are 300 students currently enrolled in the school. And I'm going to begin with the founder of this school, Madam Beem Kumari Chetri. Sai Ram Guruma, welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram.
It's very nice to have you, madam. How is Sathya Sai education being accepted in Dilaram in West Bengal? Is my first question to you.
Sai Ram, actually, in the 80s, there was a Sai wave in Darjeeling. So I just, in 1983, I joined Sai Samiti. And then I become a Bal Vikas Guru. So I started Bal Vikas classes with the children in my village. Thereafter, I started a school named Sai Sundaram School with a small number of children, with 11 students. So I thought, why not education with Swami soldiers in the form of Bal Vikas and in the form of EHB class. Mm-hmm. So with that idea, I started the school. And now the school has, with the Swami's blessing and all, it is upgraded up to 12th standard. And the value education is still going on as it is.
What are now, the challenges? Because you're teaching value-based education in a state whose political scenario has not seen much interest in this sort of a culture.
The challenges was many, like the religious, the mostly the people there are Buddhist. They worship Buddhism. And the people may think that the Sai Sundaram School may teaching only Sai education. Mm-hmm. It was some points from the guardian sites or public sites. That was one of the challenges. But when we started, the Bal Vikas children, when they were changed and accepted the value education, they found the behavior, their playing mood and all. So slowly, the people accepted our value education and started sending the children to our school.
And now you have an enrollment of 300 from 11 students. You have come a long way.
Yeah, it's the school was upgraded very slowly.
I see.
We just upgraded one class
at a time. The children grow. I think that's the story of many Sathya Sai schools.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, thank you for that information. And I do believe that things have now changed a lot, because
we are Vidya Vahini project also.
Right. And are they going well? I hope so. I hope to hear that they are going well.
Yeah, it's going well. I think it will go more better in near future.
I see. Thank you. I now turn to one of the students from grade 10. Her name is Bhavani Khawas. And Bhavani Khawas of grade 10 has been exposed to the Sri Satya Sai Vidyavahini program because the school has a fellowship scholar stationed in their school currently. Bhavani, what is your favorite part of Vidyavahini in your school? By the way, Sairam Bhavani, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam, the favorite part of that Vidyavahini has been doing is the bhajan sessions.
You like the bhajans?
Yeah.
Why?
They're really good. Before Vidyavahini program started in our school, we used to have bhajans, but they weren't really interesting that we are having now. I mean, they were not as good as the ones we are having now. Now we use a lot of instruments and we have also formed the core bhajan group. So the bhajans are really good and makes us feel as if we are in Prashanti Nilayam.
Oh, very nice. That's nice to hear. Do you use the bhajan karaoke?
Yeah, sometimes we use that and it really makes us feel Swami's presence over there.
Yeah, that's a very nice product from Radio Sai that allows people to have that experience of upgraded bhajans automatically.
Yeah.
And what else do you like?
I like the weekly quiz sessions that are going on in the school. They're really interesting as it is really based on the mythological topics and the human values. They're really good as we get to learn really new things based on the human values which we get to implement in our lives, which are very important to lead a better life.
That's nice to hear from a 14. How old are you, 14?
I'm 14.
Yeah, grade 10 students. Very nice. So, which is your favorite bhajan, Bhavani?
My favorite bhajan is Humne Apna Sar Jhuka Liya.
Oh, you want to sing a line for me?
Yeah, sure.
Please do.
हमने अपना सर झुका लिया साई राम तुम्हारे चरणों में. This is how it goes.
Very beautiful. Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I also welcome to the studio Kusum Tamang. Kusum Tamang is a grade 12 student at the Sai Sundaram School in Dilaram, Darjeeling, West Bengal. Sai Ram Kusum.
Sai Ram Ma'am.
Welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you.
I believe you like some campus activities that Vidyavahini has introduced to your school. What are those?
Those are special assemblies and the treasure hunt activities that we held in special occasions. Like the last treasure hunt we had was on Children's Day. Uh-huh. And it was really interesting because everyone was so excited and like they were really engrossed in that, and everyone was like searching for the clues. And the last round of the treasure hunt was that we had to enact some personalities and some disciplinary things, and one had to enact and the other had to guess, and that was really interesting. And we also have extempo sessions, like one topic is given and we have to prepare for 30 seconds and then we have to talk for 2 minutes. That is really interesting because it really builds up the talent we have inside us, and it also gives us the opportunity that we actually wanted. And our school has always been able to provide all the opportunities that we want, and I am very thankful to school personally because it is the help of the school that I am here at Radio Sai, and this was just like a dream come true to speak here with you, ma'am.
Oh, we are very happy to have you also.
Thank
it's
you.
Always nice to hear from Swami's students from everywhere, and coming as far as you are from Dilaram in Darjeeling, West Bengal, it gives us great joy to welcome you to the studio. It must be Swami's wish. So, Kusum, what about the special assemblies? Which part is your favorite?
Special assemblies are held on every Saturday and that are performed by every classes. Principal sir provides us a theme, and on that theme we have to prepare. We get like 1 week for the preparation, and it is always a value-based theme. And through our special assembly, we try to send a message that is always value-based, and our theme has a secret message hidden, and we always try to make that message to everyone, to make everyone hear that message. And it is really good because it is said that we learn by seeing and listening. And when we see people and when we see our colleagues or when we see our friends enacting there or doing performances and showing their talents, it really feels so overwhelming and it really feels so good to watch them. And we also get that we should also try once because they are doing so well.
Very nice. Thank you. So I'm glad that these components that Sri Satyasai Vidya Vahini has introduced to your school are bringing so much of joy, enjoyable, they participative. You know, that's the mantra of Vidya Vahini, inspiring, insightful, enjoyable and participative. And it's nice to hear that is happening inside your, at least the campus, the classroom and the community, the corridors. And nobody spoke about any exciting things happening in your school corridors. Would you like to speak about that, Bhavani Khawas? Do you have any program to brighten up your corridors?
Yeah, we do have notice boards where we can stick our art, that we can stick our drawings, sketches, art poems, anything we can write the stories and then stick over there. It is really good to read the notice board every day as we get to read a lot of good things early in the morning and it is so freshening up.
Oh, very nice. Thank you. I'm going to turn to Madam Beem Kumari Chetri, who is known as the Guruma in the entire school community. So, Guruma, what is your, as an experienced person who's been involved in founding of this school and you're still associated with it, what is your assessment of the impact of Vidya Vahini on your school, on this Sai Sundaram School in Dilaram, Darjeeling, West Bengal?
Yes, actually, ma'am, Vidya Vahini is a nice project which Vidya Vahini has brought to our school. It's the most important thing is the activities, the club activities, whatever activities the teacher use in their teaching technique. It makes not only the students but teachers also. It activated them a lot.
Experiential learning.
It's the experiential
hands-on
learning.
All hands-on learning.
Hands-on learning. It is well said. Now we hear, we forget, we see, we remember.
But if we do?
We do.
We learn.
We learn. We understand. So yes. It has really increased the understanding power of students as well as the teacher where they self-trained, I should say, and the innovative techniques.
I hope you use the resource teaching aid called Samip.
Yeah, Samip also, yeah. That's
and Spandana?
Yeah, yes.
All those workbooks?
All those Vidya Vahini which they have provided us is really a very good. And teacher has got the advantage of to learn more and more every day. And the classroom has become really interesting. And the children, the most important things are the children, the students, these projects and activities provide them to be engaged in some other activities and which is really very good and they can expose out their talents. That's very important. And the value teaching which we are giving through Vidya Vahini, that's really very, that, what should I say? The children get so excited and they became very active as well as forward also. Whatever project we just tell them to prepare within few days, within short period, the children will be able to perform the activities. It's very interesting.
It's very nice to hear that teachers find it exciting because Bhagwan wanted the project to empower teachers first. Of course, the end user is students, but it has to flow from the teacher.
From
so I'm very
teachers,
happy to hear that your teachers like that.
Yeah. Most of the teachers are very nice.
Good. And how is the fellowship working out?
It's very nice. It's very, very helpful. And our fellow teachers, fellowship teachers, they really worked hard and they provide lot of activities and support to the teachers and all. Whatever we had some problems. I think most of them have solved this year.
And I understand.
I hope the next year the project will move on so smoothly.
I see. And I understand you're learning computers in the school, technology.
Technology. Teachers are just getting used to it.
Very nice to hear. Thank you.
So it's very nice to be here, ma'am. So
it is very nice to have you with us. I want to thank all three of you for being here. And if it's okay, I'm going to request Bhavani maybe to sing a couple of more lines of that beautiful bhajan that she started. And we can end the conversation with that.
Yes, sure. हमने अपना सर झुका लिया साई राम तुम्हारे चरणों में साई राम तुम्हारे चरणों में भगवान तुम्हारे चरणों में हमने अपना सर झुका लिया साई राम तुम्हारे चरणों में हम में तुम में यही अंतर है हम नर है तुम नारायण हो हम है संसार के हाथों में संसार तुम्हारे हाथों में That's it.
Beautiful. Very nice to hear this melodious bhajan from 14-year-old student from the Sai Sundaram School in Dilaram, Darjeeling district of West Bengal. That was Bhavani Khawas, a 10th grade student from the school, singing one of her favorite bhajans, which means that I have offered my head, dear Lord, at your lotus feet, and I surrender to you. And I also want to thank her peer from grade 12, Miss Kusum Tamang, who joined us. Thank you, Kusum. And most importantly, I'd like to thank Beam Kumari Chetriji, who is the Guruma of the school. She founded this school. Thank you very much, madam, for joining me on Morning Glory.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Our pleasure. Always good to have you. So, dear listeners, that was Bhavani Khawas, grade 10 student, Kusum Tamang, grade 12 student, and the founder of the school, Sai Sundaram School from Dilaram in West Bengal, Madam Beam Kumari Chetri, joining us for that short live conversation from the studio. With this, I'm happy to bring you a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity. This one is with Mr. M.C. Mehta, and he's in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti. Please enjoy this interview and do send us your feedback about the conversation we just had and the interview that is going to follow now. And any other offerings from Radio Sai, as always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. With that, I wish you a Sai-some awesome day ahead, and please enjoy the rest of your day with Thursday Live. Stay tuned to Prashanthi Nilayam. Thank you for your company. Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan, who have been inspired by what happens in Prashanthi Nilayam. And today we have with us in the studios Mr. Mahesh Chandra Mehta, someone who is described as a dedicated, fearless, extremely honest man who pursues his goals with single-minded devotion. He is one man enviro legal brigade. Mr. Mehta is probably the only Supreme Court lawyer to have taken up legal kadgals with the polluting Indian industries and come out victorious. So he's someone who has believed in himself, who has believed in the power of goodness, believed in the power of nature. which is a blessing and a gift of God. And even as we are speaking in the studios today, the Go Green Conference is going on in Prashantinilayam, and Sir started off this conference. He was the keynote speaker. He spoke in the divine presence of Bhagwan in the Sai Kulwant Hall, creating awareness about what we should do if we say we are Sai devotees, if we say that we subscribe to Swami's message of Vyashti, Samashti, Srishti and Parameshti. Bhagwan talks about this cosmic connection between man, society, nature and God. So Sir dwelt on all these aspects in his key address that he gave at the Go Green Conference. So with Bhagwan's grace, we have him with us in the studio. So a warm welcome to you, sir, to the studios
Thank
of Radio Sai.
Thank you.
So first of all, before we hear about your beautiful mission, can we just know from you about how is it to be in Prashantinilayam? You have been at so many places. You have traveled extensively around the world, inspiring people to live on the path of truth, to live on the path of goodness. How does it feel stepping into Prashantinilayam?
Oh, it is really my wonderful experience, which I had since yesterday. And here it is, the path is towards oneness. And when we talk about oneness, there the whole universe comes in. Mm-hmm. And it is really that the people from all over the world, they are streaming over here, they are talking, they are thinking, and they are meditating for a cause. And cause is truth, beauty and virtue.
Yes.
So that's why the conference which was which started yesterday, it was really good, because in the sense, you know, that the environment is an extremely important aspect in life. Without environment, we can't survive. We can't live. Every day we need oxygen, the fresh air to breathe, good food to eat, and water to drink. And all these three elements, these are very essential for life. Not only for human beings, but for all living beings. And unfortunately, the situation on all the three, whether it's air, water, soil, that is Mother Earth, and the forests, groundwater, the Himalayas, glaciers, when we all talk about these things, they are under serious threat. As human race, we are worried about our survival, and it is because of our follies, the mistakes which the humans, as humans, we are doing.
You have been spending so much time creating awareness about all this. You are someone who has spent hours fighting to save Mother Ganga. You have ensured that 5,000 factories along the river were directed to install pollution control devices, and 300 factories were closed. Approximately 250 towns and cities in the River Ganga basin have been ordered to set up sewage treatment plants. I think those are some fantastic achievements, phenomenal contribution to society, to Indian culture. So how was it taking up this case? You know, what were the challenges? What gave you that inspiration? Because it is not easy. When factories are being closed down, there will be enough people against you. There will be, I think, huge negative forces working to destabilize you. How did you manage to counter that? And where did you get the inspiration from?
You see that I started this case, Ganga case, because Ganga is our mother. And it is a river, not a river, it is a force which gives life to to all Indians, because we have innate faith in the water, and it is like Amrit.
Yes.
So, when I came to know that in 1984 late, that the Ganga water caught fire near Haridwar. So I was surprised that how water can catch fire. So it was a very strange idea to me, the thought. And then I went to see that places, and I came to know that at that time two big industries, they were throwing polluting the pollutants, all toxic waste into the into the Ganga. They were passing that path, and that what happened with that, that the toxic waste was just floating over that, the oil and other things, you know, that
effluents from the industries,
effluents from the industries, and somebody was walking, and he. He lit a cigarette, and then he threw that towards that side,
the matchstick.
And the whole the drain caught fire.
Oh my God.
That was they could not extinguish that fire for 30 hours.
Oh my God.
So it was that I read in the papers also at that time, and Hindustan Times and other papers, they gave that the Ganges caught fire.
I mean, it reminds me of the Gulf War when you had you know, oil on the oceans. And they were put on fire.
So I then I investigated, and I found that no, this is the thing which is happening because of the pollutants which are going into the Ganga, all hazardous waste, and everything was thrown, and there was no treatment systems there. So as a result, I filed the case for the Ganges, for the Gangaji, and so then when I filed against these industries, but then later on the whole it was broadened, the scope was broadened by the court to the whole of the Ganga, from the beginning of the Ganga to the end of the Ganga.
Wow.
So this has the all 2,525 kilometers long stretch, you know, of the Gangaji and its tributaries.
Wow.
So all the whole of almost in North India, where all the 7-8 states are there, the industries there, those who are hazardous industries, the polluting industries, and then the municipal bodies, the other industries, the all sorts of industries, they were made party by the Supreme Court. By issuing notices in the newspapers and through radio and networks. At that time, I'm talking about 84, 85, when the TV was not so popular. So at that time, through radio broadcasts and all that, these things happened. And now, this case has become one of the mammoth case, one of the biggest case, apart from my other case, that is Taj Mahal case.
Yes.
So this is a very important, because it is a lifeline of India.
Absolutely.
And if how can we lose our mother?
Absolutely.
And that is what is a part of our civilization. It is a part of our culture, and it gives us a spiritual wealth.
Absolutely.
And health.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely.
You see that I don't think that there is any river in the world which is worshipped as widely as Gangaji.
Absolutely. And, no doubt in that.
And two is that the Gangaji is not only giving the Ganga Jal to the people, those who take carry, but it is a wish of the people to that their ashes should be put into the Ganges, and then all the rituals that takes place over there. So this is a part of this whole culture.
Absolutely.
So that is how it is happening with this Gangaji. And then later on what happened, that The court started taking action against the most polluting industries. Then it was taken every week, and then sometimes in every day was being taken. And the court, the Supreme Court of India, really acted as a savior to protect the river. And the life and health of the people, because it is not only that river has become, it's most of the course of the river has become totally dead. The water is unfit for bathing, washing, drinking, or irrigational purposes.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so it is so bad, and these scientific reports are coming to the court, and it is astonishing that what are we playing? Why are we doing all these things? With the water which we and the river which we worship.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, people have great reverence for the river.
Yes.
I mean, if you go to Haridwar and Uttaranchal and Uttar Pradesh, you will find Ganga Aarti going on. People, I mean, you have such fantastic Ganga Aarti ceremonies in Haridwar, in Rishikesh. People throng in huge numbers.
Yes.
But at the same time, they disconnecting the truth of what it is to live truly in worship of the river. You cannot adore the river in words, but desecrate the river in action.
Yes.
And I think this whole exercise, one, it has brought now law. You have the National Green Tribunal giving a landmark judgment which prohibited waste disposal within 500 meters of the river and designated that 100 meters from the river as a no development zone from this entire stretch from Haridwar to Unnao. So I think that is a fantastic achievement, and something we really definitely have to be proud of, and you have been God's instrument in making this happen. But after all these things, I mean, are you seeing now, sir, some revival of the river's pristinity? Is it coming back? You know, are we able to prevent any more damage of the river? Are we able to in some way recoup whatever we have lost of this precious river?
You see that I'm optimist always, because that is the only hope, is the, you know, which gives us sustenance and strength to work further. My whole worry is that it is, the court has given a roadmap to the country, to the all the state governments, and to the government of India, that you do this. The days together, the earlier the Supreme Court was heard it for days together in the Supreme Court, it was heard. Then the Supreme Court said that now the National Green Tribunal has been set up. So it was transferred, this case, more hearings should be given, so that the decisions should take should be taken at
faster.
The earliest, faster.
Mm-hmm.
That happened, but my concern is that despite this roadmap, the judgment about 543 pages judgment, and all those, you know, things, the directions at various times and all that, you see that the municipal corporations, the municipalities, the towns, they are very indifferent. And the two is that because they are indifferent, because the state governments, they have become insensitive. Then the central government, the government of India, because it is a national river, we can't create Gangaji again.
Yeah. No way.
This Mother Earth. We can't create.
Yes.
And so what we have to do? We have to only take care of the river. And the river is nourishing this whole civilization for the last thousands of years. And that message, if it goes into the mind of the politicians, political leadership, and the bureaucrats, those who have to govern, those who yes. have to rule, then the things can change. But yes. unfortunately, I don't know, they are still in deep sleep, you know, and how that, yes. Despite the court directions and the NGT directions and other concern of the other people, still, you know that the governments have not taken serious
as
steps
action
to,
as you yes, would want.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at it, yes, successive governments have allocated huge amount of
huge
funds.
Amounts, and the court directed that do this, yes. and that was done. Yes. And still now the money has been is going waste.
I mean, you have even the current government having the Namami Ganga project, 20,000 crores. I mean, it's a huge amount.
Yes, it is a huge amount. You see that Gangaji does not need money. It is that the people, those who, if we...
Gangaji needs true devotion.
Yes, true devotion.
True devotion.
It is not a false way of yeah. getting votes, you yes. know. When yes. the elections will come, correct. Each party will come and say, they, oh, we will make yes. the Ganga river clean. And
In fact, when you think about it, what I feel many times is, what we also need, apart from, you know, spending time, energy, effort to save, for example, a river like Mother Ganga, maybe what we also need to do is to go to the root of the problem and, you know, spend much more time, energy, effort to ensure that the flow of goodness in every heart does not stop. I think there is a Ganga of goodness. That is what today I feel it has gone dry. If the goodness in every heart can come up, then why only Ganga? You know, all the rivers, all the flora and fauna of the country can be preserved. That's why I feel, you know, if we plant more sensitivity in every heart, then our trees effortlessly will be saved. And that is what Bhagwan always, I mean, right from the time Bhagwan declared his avatar root, this is what he was saying, you know, if we plant more sharing in everyone's mind, then our waters effortlessly will be safeguarded.
Of course.
If we plant more compassion in every individual, then our surroundings effortlessly will be conserved. So I think this flow of goodness, just like you have been submerged in this flow of goodness, in the sense you've been trying to do what you can as a single man, and of course now you've set up a foundation, so you have more people supporting you. But perhaps the moral regeneration of society being more sensitive, is perhaps a need of the hour, isn't it, sir?
No, this is a need of the hour, you know. And then, in my view, you know, that the two things are very important. One is that the role of the central government and the role of the state governments and the municipal bodies. These three, you know, that if their role is made accountable, that why they have failed so far. It is the law is there. Law, it is a there is a Water Pollution Control Act. There is a Air Pollution Control Act. There is hazardous waste management. There is solid waste management, and so many rules and regulations are there. But it is, again, I will say, that political will is missing in a true sense. When there is a question of votes, then the elections are near, then everybody comes out from their slumber, and then they start saying that, oh, hum to Ganga ji ko bacha lenge, hum to ye karenge, hum wo karenge. Aaj jo hai wo today, the situation is worsening because climate change.
Climate change.
And this, the climate change is going to be very fatal, you know, and it is going to have a serious impact on India, especially in these areas, because once they...
I mean, our glaciers of Himalayas, yes,
they're melting. They are very melting very fast. And
the flow of Ganga it will be...
Yes. Sometimes the water
question mark,
will grow, yes,
if it can be the, yeah, what it was,
yes,
10 years
they can't
or
contain, yes, that flow. And then at the same time, what is going to happen with this whole civilization, with the whole this country?
Yes.
So these are the various dangers. And then if the laws are complied with properly,
people have to be more,
yes,
aware and more sensitive to abide by the laws. So
yes,
I think that is the reason why I think, you know, it is really important now, the moral regeneration of
yes,
India.
Yes, you are right.
The moral regeneration of humanity is definitely something which is very, very important. And so can I ask you, you know, yes, the government needs to do a lot, but people also, once they become morally conscious, then huge things can happen. And sometimes, as Mahatma Gandhi said, one man's goodness can wipe out the miseries of a million people. It has that much power. So, you know, you are someone who has been at the forefront, you know, in spite of so many challenges, you have been leading this. So, I want to ask you two questions. One, where do you get your inspiration from? Because you have shown that even if the government is lethargic, even if the government is not proactive, if you have the passion, you can make a difference. So, from where do you get that inspiration? And what is your advice to all those people who also, like you, feel for the environment? They feel sad when they look at the state of affairs in the environment today. They also want to do something. So, you know, how should they go about it?
Yes, you see, the one first thing is that I have got strength, you know, whatever is there, it is my belief that yes, ultimately, as a Hindu, all over ashes are going to be there. You know, so then it is, and then what are we going to do? You know that, oh, yes, fine, where is the other place now? In the world, you know, that where the such things are going to happen, that everybody has to die. Mm-hmm. Those who believe as a Hindu, they have to do. And then if they do, then they should be more worried that yes, what we owed from our ancestors, we should pass on the same thing at least to the future generations. So we are failing in that sense that we over the ashes when these will be immersed into the river. What are we going to do? You know, because the reason is that the water is so polluted there. The Ganga Jal is so polluted. This is the role of not only the one person. It is the role of all the institutions also. In the institutions, in the sense of that those who are the spiritual bodies,
yes,
the religious bodies.
Yes.
Like there are so many the Hindu the swamis,
yes,
the religious, yeah, priests. All those, yeah,
they have many spiritual organizations.
Spiritual organizations. Yes. So they have to pray. They have to come forward, because mm-hmm, if one spiritual organization comes forward, the people will listen to them.
Yes.
Because those who are their devotees, mm-hmm, they will come forward.
Come forward.
And I think that time has come, that it is not that the Gangaji, which is being worshipped now through words only, mm-hmm, a practical approach has to be taken by all organizations, whether they are. Not only that, it is not the question of Hindus only.
Yes.
The water is being used by Christians, by Muslims, by every person.
Yes.
And because it is the only, the water is such a thing,
yes,
that which has no caste, creed, or culture, color. So it is for everybody.
Yes.
It is necessity of life.
Yes.
And for not only us, for the other living beings also.
Absolutely.
So it's very essential that, yes, because the animals, they can't clean the you know, water. It is the human, we have
they
the
don't dirt, they don't dirty it also.
They don't. They only take that water, whatever,
yes,
they need.
Yeah.
And then they go.
Yeah.
But only we are the people,
yes,
those who are in the race for modern, yes, development and all that,
yes,
we have forgotten our values,
yes,
and we are just trying to destroy our whole culture, heritage.
So when you think about it, you know, it is your rootedness to your culture, you know, you being,
yes,
a Hindu, you know, you felt this is where the ashes will go,
yes,
not only of mine but all my brothers, and that was something that inspired you to, you know, you take up this cause.
It is one of the factors,
yes,
but basically that water every day we
the
people
water.
Have,
yes,
to drink,
yes,
in wherever the water is, yes, going.
I mean,
the
that
people
way
have to drink, and
absolutely, wherever there is water, that is Ganga.
That is Ganga. Yes, you are right. You are right. And then the tributaries,
yes,
not only the main, the Bhagirathi, mm-hmm, it is the other tributaries. And the other tributaries are like Yamuna. Yamuna river has become so dead that it is, its water is again unfit for bathing, washing, or any purpose.
Hmm.
So, this Yamuna ji, yes, is considered as equally the sacred river.
Absolutely.
Because Bhagwan, yes, Krishna,
yes,
Lord Krishna, he
all the leelas happened
on
the banks of,
at Mathura, Vrindavan, all those places,
yes,
and the Yamuna.
Yes.
So how can we forget? Similarly, the other rivers are essential, you know, for everybody.
I think when you think about Indian culture, you know, because of our rishis, those enlightened sages and saints, you know, they ensure that every water body, you know, is made an object of worship.
Yes.
You know, if in north it was Ganga, then you came, yes, then, you know, it became Mahanadi, then
Kaveri.
Then Kaveri.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, you go to Madhya Pradesh,
yes, yes,
you have their Narmada. So,
yes,
so everywhere you have rivers which are like living deities. But I think what is really needed is to follow that in spirit, you know.
In spirit, yes.
To follow that,
yes,
in spirit, yeah, you know. You won't pollute your mother. You won't pollute,
yes,
if you really have that reverence for nature. And I think that is something that has to increasingly be created. That consciousness, I think, has to be created in the coming generation.
It has to come into every human soul, you know, that,
yes,
yes, you know, that it is our duty, because all rishis, munis, and this spiritual saints, you know, they did so much work for these things, and they set values,
yes,
and now those values we are forgetting.
Yes.
So we have to revive those values.
Yes.
And we have to really become the pattern on which our rishis and munis and during,
yes,
Vedic time started all those things.
Yes. In fact, I remember one discourse of Baba. You know, in your speech also you were mentioning about Prakriti and, you know, the connection between Paramatma. So Baba was saying that, you know, it is wrong to separate Prakriti from Paramatma and think that they are different.
No, yes.
And Swami very beautifully gave the example of Rama, Ravana,
yes,
and Sita. So where Bhagwan said Ravana was a great scientist.
Mm.
In those times,
yes,
he had conquered the elements. He wanted to, he was someone who had the knowledge of 64 disciplines of knowledge. He was technically more learned than Rama, they say.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, and, you know, so you hear stories about, you know, they're going out of the earth, they were conquering world. So,
yes,
they were scientists in their own way.
Yes.
So Swami says that Ravana symbolizes that height of science and intellectual, technological capabilities,
yes,
and achievements.
Yes.
But when Ravana wanted nature without the permission of Rama, Ravana wanted to violate Sita, violate nature. And that is when Ravana got destroyed.
Yes.
I think, you know, in India, you have reverence for Rama, you have reverence for Sita, but we should know that every time we are polluting our river, we are actually insulting Mother Sita, and that is what happened to Ravana. Because Ravana insulted Mother Sita, the entire clan was destroyed. And you cannot approach nature without having the grace of God. Only with the grace of Rama can you approach Mother Sita.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is how Indian culture is set.
Yes, yes.
And so that was something, you know, it occurred to my mind when you were talking that day about, you know, Prakriti and Paramatma. So I think, as you mentioned, you know, all this which have come to us from our sages and saints, these have to be in some ways inculcated. I know you're doing a lot of work through your foundation, the MC Mehta Environmental Foundation. So perhaps that is training lawyers to fight these environmental causes, isn't it, sir?
Yes. We have, you see, that it was set up, you know, in the sense that to create awareness amongst the NGOs, the concerned citizens, and at the same time the lawyers community, the scientists, and all this. So we do organize such programs, but it is not a funded organization. So we have to work very hard, you know, that, oh yes, fine, you know, that we organize these things. And so far, you know, we have been able to train about 125 young lawyers.
Wow.
Not only from India alone, but from other countries also. The lawyers have come, and then the 6 weeks programs takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to see that, yes, you know, we live in a very simple way, and we try to give, take them for the studies into the fields, because the environmental lawyer, you can't become, you know, in one day. Mm-hmm.
You have to walk deep. As a management, as they say, you know, you manage by walking around.
Yes.
Your environment, you have to actually walk the green path.
Yes. And here, you know that they have to see the best sites and the worst sites.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst sites are the polluted places.
Mm-hmm.
the water, and then how they have to, and then the people, because it is, you are, when we are polluting the water, animals and the people, they drink the same water. Now you see, I feel that India is becoming a great hospital in itself, you know. It's a nation, you know, it's mm-hmm. a great, and I'm worried about that, because mm-hmm. now you see that cancer patients.
Oh yes.
And they in millions now.
It's become common now.
Yes, it has become a common.
Mm-hmm.
The other, you know, the fatal diseases, they are growing and growing.
Yes.
And then more and more and more and more hospitals are coming up.
Yes.
We only need the fresh air to breathe and potable water, you know,
mm-hmm.
the pure water to drink, and then good food to eat.
Yes.
And all the three elements are no more near. I mean,
the basic things are so difficult.
Yes, yes, you are right.
Today.
Yes, you are right.
I mean, in spite of we being so intelligent,
it's
the paradox of the time.
Paradox, yes, you are right. And then see that the milk. Even your milk is not safe.
Milk is not safe.
When the animals, the buffalo or the cow,
yes.
they gives, you know, milk, because they have to take all that rubbish, you know.
Yes.
And then what, you know, there's no, and the mercury in the milk, you know, when even
yes.
the child gets up and he sees, you know, the mercury, or drinks, you know, mercury or the other toxic things, you know,
yes.
in it, it is very sad. So my worry is that it is not by harming the river water bodies and the rivers, we are not harming only those rivers and water bodies, but we are cutting our own feet.
Yes.
And we are cutting our whole bodies, because
yes.
the reason is that how can we survive without them?
What you're mentioning is really interesting, in the sense that if people were able to see that connection, like for example, if I slap my face, I
yes.
get the pain.
Yes.
Because it happens instantly.
Yes, yes.
I don't slap my face. But if I dropped this dirt on the road, and if I saw in the next 5 minutes that my son was affected with
yes.
cholera or dysentery,
yes, yes.
I will not do it.
No.
But because it doesn't happen immediately, we're not able to see that effect. So people, you know, you don't take that seriously. But actually, that is what is happening. If tomorrow, maybe 5 years down the line, somebody in my family has got cancer, and you know, in some ways, maybe I or people around me, we have only created that.
Created and the cost, the treatment is so costly.
So costly.
The whole one family, if one person gets sick, you know, in the family,
oh, yes.
the whole family, not only the family, the yes. other in the family members,
yes.
you know, the even the friends, the relations, and others, they also get upset, you know, they have
it's
to.
It's an emergency.
Yeah, it is an emergency.
For everyone.
So
yeah.
that is why, you know, that I always say that we have to take, you know, that drastic steps in this country, and that role is only of the people, frankly.
Yes.
The people. People's responsibility. The governments have failed in performing their duties. Now the role is of the citizens only.
The, yes. So the citizens can, if they come together, they can do.
They can. You see that they can. Once even a campaign is required. So that the government should think that now it is not only that we can make fool of the people, but here it is the people are suffering,
yes.
and the people, we have to set the things right, and that is the people's movement we require, environmental people's movements, you know that,
yes.
And if that is done, something can happen. But my worry is that how long we can wait, because the reason is that in the hazardous waste. of the millions of tons is being thrown into the water bodies, rivers, everywhere it is floating, the plastic. And then why can't these, the governments can't stop these things? They can do. And because it is only benefiting some industries, and all those, so like the plastic has been banned.
Yes.
And the
in some of the states.
Yeah, in some of the states. But still, the manufacturing is taking place. Why should it happen? So this is, it shows that there is no the government which is concerned about the environmental issues,
but I think
and the life and health of the people.
True. I mean, as you mentioned, if people come together, then you know, then it can wake up governments. It can not give a choice also to the government not to act, actually. And I think what you also mentioned earlier, where you know spiritual organizations also come in the forefront and take up these causes.
Yes.
I think just like this Go Green conference that is happening here. So you have, you know, millions of people who love Bhagwan, you know, who are serious about practicing Swami's teachings. And now if they take up this into their spiritual life, you into their life, as they walk on the path of the teachings of Bhagwan, I think that will make a huge difference.
Yes, it is going to. It is going to. You see that this Go Green conference which has taken place, and it is, I think that it is a major initiative taken by
International
Sai Baba organization. So such things should happen. But the only thing what I my worry is that once somebody's my house is burning, and so still if we go on thinking that yes, somebody will come and extinguish that fire, it is not going to happen. It is that immediately more and more people, they have to come. Apart from this organization, many more have to come, join, and then you know see
it
that
it has become a huge movement.
It is a huge movement, like independent India. You know, when we got independence at that time, you know how many people sacrifices took place.
Yes.
And the same way, you know, it is the second independence for.
There we got freedom,
fresh air,
but now for breathing,
breathing fresh air, and having clean water to
drink
and reasonably good food to eat. So that is what is the revolution, you know.
True.
And it is a peaceful revolution has to take place, and so the people have to come out, and they should not sleep, and they should and sleep only till. You know, they attain the goal. And if this goal, if we in this generation, you know, will not do, how our future generations are going to? They will not pardon. They are not going to pardon, as these generations are not going to pardon these past governments and the leaders, those who have committed blunders in playing the havoc with the people's life and health and the environment and the rivers and all those things, natural resources. We have the bounden duty that yes, even now, something we can save. It is oceans. We are all the oceans. They are also getting polluted. They are dumped. Everything is dumped into that. So it is very critical. The space is not. We are not sparing the space. You can imagine the debris which is in the space itself,
being left in the space.
So we have to be very practical, you know. And I think that not only that all over the whole there is a need for a united world to fight on these issues.
Absolutely.
The world has to unite.
Yes.
And there is no question of boundaries. It is a question of life and the natural resources which have to be protected for present and future generations.
I think the natural resources, you know, coming from the five elements, I think if we think of them as gifts, I think at least if all the people who believe in God think of them as forms of God, I think then at least in some ways you will not think of in any way insulting these elements. And if you look at Bhagwan's teachings also, from the 50s and 60s, Bhagwan used to always talk about sealing on desires. He used to ask people that, you know, if you want to serve, don't serve just by getting money from somewhere. You first control your desires, and with the saving that you do from controlling your desires, take that amount and then serve someone.
Yes, that's a wonderful principle, and it is a very, very good teaching, you know, that it should be done. So that is what is the need and greed. This is the wisdom, you know, which has, and this message should be spread. These wise words, you know, which have been given by Babaji, and so we need that, you know, that this should be done. The only thing is, but my danger is that we should not waste much time. The organizations, whether the Satya Sai Baba organization, my humble request is here that all devotees, they should their devotion to Babaji, Bhagwan ji, is to nurture, to protect nature, to love nature, and to live in nature. Yes. As it was that the go green, yes. I think that it is go green, live green,
yes.
act green, and then spiritually the whole thing will come up.
Yes.
So this is very important.
Spiritualized life.
Yes.
I mean, when you're talking about spiritualizing life,
yes.
Going green is a definite aspect of it.
Yes. It's very, very important. Without that, we can't even sit. You see that if my room is suffocating, you know,
yes.
How can I sit in
and meditate?
If my stomach is, you know, upset, you know,
filled with toxins,
pollution, you know, with toxins or anything,
yes.
We can't work. So this is a very important aspect that all organizations, I am praying to all organizations,
wonderful.
And they can change, you know, the face. We should not depend on these governments, and they will fail in their own way because they are doing wrong karmas. The political leadership at every step is doing wrong karmas, you know.
But I think, as you said, you know, when more people come together,
yes.
You know, citizen activism,
yes, they can,
is unstoppable. They,
yes,
you know,
yes,
when
yes,
that happens,
yes, I agree with you.
Then,
because the whole movements have been fought.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is a most peaceful revolution.
Yes.
And this peaceful revolution can come when
yes.
we all unite that we
yes.
don't want to, be under the jurisdiction of the governments to listen to them
yes.
that they are going to clean. We have to clean ourselves, you know.
In fact, just like now it has happened in Prashant Nilam, where you have people like more than 50, 60 countries
yes.
who have come
yes.
together to ensure
yes.
that, you know, even as they spiritualize their life, they will ensure that their life also becomes green and serene.
Yes.
And even the Central Trust also has taken a lot of initiatives here, you know, having solar energy.
This is wonderful. You see, solar energy, wind energy,
yes.
and then the cleaning the rivers, or planting the tree. You
planting
know,
it's
a very
trees.
On every birthday.
Yes.
If we start planting, you know,
absolutely.
One or two or five. So in each family, if they put every year the 5 or 10 saplings, you know, and then they see that they are fruit trees, the other carbon sequestration trees, and so many other neem trees. Whatever. So, how can we can green bring back that greenery in India?
In fact, I'll be. I don't know if you're aware of this. You know, just a few months ago, when the Bangalore Metro Rail Corporation
yes.
was setting up a new track, and they wanted to bring down 108 trees, and then the Bangalore Super Speciality Hospital, our old students working there in the hospital and the director came forward and, you know, they transplanted this 108
yes.
trees into the hospital's campus.
Yes, yes.
So that was something which actually woke up the green social workers and green enthusiasts in the
yes.
city of Bangalore, because it was unprecedented and they did it with 100% success. So I think
it is possible.
The development is possible.
Yes,
it's
yes.
not as if we have to sacrifice development.
No. Nobody. It is the we call about the sustainable development, and development should be
yes.
for happiness of the mankind,
and work with
the,
nature.
With nature. Yes.
In harmony with
yes,
nature.
Yes,
we
yes,
can,
yes.
Yes. We can.
Otherwise, you know, how can we survive? You know,
yes.
we are only talking over lopsided policies will not help us. You
yes.
know,
yes.
Over political will should be that it should be a green political will. You know.
Yes.
Not that the toxic political will, you know, or you know it is killing
yes.
Political will. It is no.
Yes.
The political life, the politicians should understand that they can't kill the human beings or the nature this way. Because they have the they come into power for a few years, and then in 5 years or 10 years they will destroy the whole ecology.
I think slowly that awareness is growing.
You are right, but it is necessary, you know, now when the system is collapsed, it has collapsed right now. So some methodology has to come forward, which should give infusion, you know, should take place, so that the people should come and they should have, the people are also losing faith in the systems, you know. And the, now the green movement, if it comes, like it has come in many other parts of the world and there the green parties are working, you know, there is a time, you know, that the people should come forward.
In fact, that way, when you see what is happening in Prashantilam, you feel very
it is really very heartening. You know that how many the villages where the work is going on, so many the constructive programs are taking place, and the green, the friendly actions are taking place. It gives a hope.
It gives
a hope, and that's why, you know, the people can come, learn, and more and more efforts should be taken all over the world, because this organization is spread all over the world.
Absolutely.
And I think that this is the time, you know, that it should focus more on this, and the more and more people will be will get attracted, and that is the true spiritualism, you know.
It's really heartening that for us that, you know, you could come for the conference. Can I also ask you, when did you know about Baba, or is it this, I guess this is the first time you're coming to Prashantilam, right?
Yes. No, I heard a long time back, you know, and I was once or twice, you know, I was asked that if I can come over there, but then I did not get any time. It was not meant that I should have come. Now I think that because the Baba, he believed in the protection of nature, and maybe that you know that he has called me and many others equal of the same mind, you know, people have come over here and they are serious, you know, and that yes, steps should be taken. And so it is once we love nature, there is no need for chanting mantras.
Yes.
There is no need for doing anything. If our actions are right, that is our spiritual growth.
Wow.
And that is important for that. If we protect nature, and nature will nourish us and our souls, and everything will be
wonderful.
Fine.
Just like they say, dharma rakshati rakshitaha. If you protect dharma, dharma will protect you.
Yes.
If you protect nature, nature will protect you.
Yes. That's right.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for coming to the studios. It is really our privilege that, you know, you could come to Prashantilam, and I know the conference is going on. It's a very busy schedule. It's a very hectic schedule, actually. But somehow you could come and squeeze a little bit time for ourselves. We hope that you will come to Prashanti often, and you would see and also advise all the institutions of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, because the ashram actually plans to go green completely by 2020. Now the, you know, the hospital is going green completely in another 6 months. The power bill is completely coming to almost zero now, because they're going 100% solar. All the new buildings of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust are starting off on a green note, all starting with clean energy, green energy. The ashram has sewage treatment plants. All the water is being recycled. That's how you have the lovely gardens in the ashram, you know, to maintain the serenity of the ashram. So the ashram definitely wants to go the green way, and at the same time, always inspire people to live within limitation. As Bhagavan used to always say, modernity is not consumerism, modernity is limitation.
Limitation.
So I think that is the philosophy, that is also something that the ashram and this trust and the Sathya Sai organization and we in Radio Sai are trying to do. So your advice and your suggestions and your partnership will definitely help this process. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. Shuni, Jagadishuni, Sarveshuni.